Hey, everybody, you're about to listen to our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. And if you like it, please do me a favor. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In exchange for that, I'm going to put you into a drawing for a $250 Amazon gift certificate, gift card, whatever you want to call it, gift credit, whatever it is these days. Anyway, all you have to do is leave that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot. Send it to Tony@nightmareneighbors.com. And then shortly, I'll be picking one person at random and sending you that Amazon gift card for $250. Yes, just leave the review, Apple Podcasts. That's what helps spread the word that this show exists, that people know about it. Those reviews are tremendously helpful in us getting this show off the ground. So if you like it, please leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at nightmareneighbors.com, and you'll be in the drawing for that Amazon gift card. I hope you like the show. I hope you can take the 30 seconds to leave the review, and I'll get yourself in that drawing for that gift certificate. Now, without further ado, Nightmare Neighbors, everybody. What do you do when you realize your drunk neighbors have decided to use the bed of your truck as their bedroom? Can you wake them and move them? Or do you just get to drive off with the extra cargo?
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
And it is, and yeah, 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number to call, and you can share your nightmare neighbor story with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or write in on our website, nightmareneighbors.com, nightmareneighbors.com. And that's the main thing on the website. It's just a big old form. You just fill out and write your story in, and we want to hear it, because that's what fuels our program. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again, and so far, so good in your new hood.
My neighbors are really, really great.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing to complain about. But the first Saturday night I was here, they had, like, some quinceanera or something on the other side of me. But we have super big lots. I literally cannot tell who lives on the other side of me.
Okay.
But they had this Hispanic band, and they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was the first night, and I'm like, interesting. Then last Saturday night, 2 weeks later, we're sitting outside, and it was just random, like, explosions. And I don't know what it was.
Yeah. And this is we're recording this on the 1st of June. So of this moment,
it wasn't Fourth of July. It shouldn't have been.
And there was no rioting in your city as of that moment. So, yeah.
There was some protesting that afternoon,
mm-hmm.
but there was no rioting that day. So I'm like, so we're sitting outside and we'd hear like boom.
Yeah.
And then I'd go gunshot. Then I'd be like, no, I think it's fireworks. And then a little bit later, boom. That was fireworks. A little bit later, boom. Gunshot? I don't know. It was the weirdest thing. But it wasn't close. It was in the distance. And that's the first time I'd heard that. So here we're sitting outside in my idyllic little backyard, mm-hmm. which is so amazing, just with random explosions.
Yeah.
But my neighbors themselves are awesome.
Well, that's good to hear. Make some enemies because we need content. That's your assignment for next week. Just piss them off. I'm feeling in the same boat over here. I feel like I'm in kind of this idyllic little, there's a few houses nearby and they've all brought over baked goods, and then they call and like, hey, you know, I heard you were going to be working on a barn, or you're looking at that. If you have any questions, you want to come see ours, you know, blah. And it's just, it's great. Except there is a cow. There is a bull, I should say, in the neighborhood. And we've talked about this on the other show earlier. So I apologize if you're hearing this again, but this bull, I guess it's mating season. So I think he's just kind of making some calls to the ladies across the street, even though they can't co-mingle at all, but he's just letting them know if they ever did get together, he's what's up.
I'm your man.
Yeah. And, anyway, that's really what's going on, but it sounds more like an angry, evangelical preacher guy.
Can you mimic the sound?
It's like that, but like insane. Oh my God. And it's like, it sounds, I didn't know cows could make or bulls could make. Sometimes it sounds like a child crying, but it's every night at the exact same time.
That's so crazy.
And I walked down there the other day just to see him, and he's like foaming at the mouth and he's just angry. And
of course he is.
Yeah.
All the ladies can't get to him.
It's like all the single ladies, but it sounds like death metal or something. I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's
I can only imagine, because when my old cat Bob, he's 19 now, but when he didn't go in heat, but there must have been a cat outside who was. And it was his first like
love.
I want to get the ladies. And I am laying in bed and it sounded like a demon baby. I'm like, I woke up from a sound sleep, like, what the hell is it? And it was my cat.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what a bull would sound like.
Oh, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. But it's in that vein where it's like, I didn't know you could make those noises. I love crazy cat sounds because they do sound like demons. I remember the first time my cat did that when I was a kid. A low-flying airplane came over the house and scared the shit out of the cat. And the cat associated everything bad in the world with me. So anytime she was startled, whether I was even in the room or had anything to do with it or not, she assumed I was the cause of it. So she'd go after me when she was startled. So my mom has to stop the cat and keep the cat away. But the cat's doing this, like this back throaty gargle thing. And it was hilarious. Anyway, I look at it hilarious now when my cats do that to the dogs, because it's kind of like, wow, this is fun. I'm easily amused. But then it's funny, they'll have that. And then 2 minutes later, they're just rubbing against each other and loving each other. It's real love hate. But
now I will say this, that even though all of my neighbors are great and I love them all so far, I still have stories that I haven't shared.
I can't wait to hear.
So just know that.
Okay. Okay. And I'm not
when the moment's right, because I had some crazy ass neighbors before.
Okay. So they're not from this neighborhood. They're from the latter. Yeah. Okay.
So when I do share, just know. And I will make that very obvious. Like, not my neighbors. I love these people. And I really do. They're very nice.
Good. I just hope nobody figures out that I've been talking about my last neighborhood, because they won't like us.
Actually, I hope they find out.
They did it when I was there, so it doesn't really fucking matter. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey guys, love the podcast. Rotate the different shows throughout the week, and they help my workday fly by. When I was in college, I lived in a low-income neighborhood where the yards were small and the homes were awfully close together. It didn't allow for much privacy, but the prices were reasonable, and it allowed me to commute 45 minutes to university, work, and be able to check on my aging parents nightly. So we made the best of it. I had a group of neighbors in the house in front of mine that always partied, played the same fucking CD on repeat all day, every day, so loud, and it would rattle the windows. They'd also have parties that spilled over into our already small yard. We'd go out the next morning and find beer cans, used personal items, all sorts of disgusting things in our yard. And on any given day, what made matters worse was that you never could tell just how many folks were living in that home. And there was a language barrier if you tried to talk to them. These are not college students, but middle-aged folks, and I was surprised by how callous they were. So one exceptionally cold morning, I had an 8 o'clock class, and it was harvest season, so I knew I would encounter tractors on my way to school since I had a rural route. I got up and ready, went to get in my truck, start my commute, when to my horror, I discovered my neighbor passed out drunk in the bed of my pickup truck. I could not wake him up, and I did not find any other way to get to school. To make matters worse, it was my midterm week, so I had to be there to take my midterm test finish papers. I repeatedly tried to wake this guy up, and he just continued snoring away in my truck bed. Out road had speed bumps on it, so I decided on a plan. I backed my truck up all the way to the end of the road and sped up as fast as I could and hit the next speed bump as hard as I could and knock this guy out of the bed. It knocked him out of the bed, and when he got up off the road, he shook up and went to sleep on my porch. I did not have time to deal with that then, so I headed to school and prayed the rest of the day that this guy would be gone when I got home. He was, but I returned home to find soiled clothes in the yard. Thankfully, we have since moved, and I've never again woken up to neighbors passed out in my truck bed. Thanks for letting me share my awful neighbor story. Wow, I didn't know how that was going to go.
How drunk do you have to be?
That's, like, yeah.
I have some stories about getting drunk, but never did I pass out in some person's truck bed.
No. I can't say I've done truck bed, but when I was 18, I had a boss who insisted I go and drink with him. It was almost like literally like, or you're going to lose
God, you're 18 and it's your boss.
Or you're going to lose your job, sort of thing. And it was like, okay. Like literally first day on the air, he gives me like a Dixie cup full of Jack Daniels right before I'm supposed to go on the air. And I'm like, what? He's like, no, do it. And then have another one. Like just demanding of it. Anyway, he was a raging alcoholic. Anyway, what the hell is the point of my story? Oh, passing out. Passing out
in this building.
Passing out was
about getting so drunk that you wake up in the back of a truck.
Yeah, like, I had an experience where then I had to, because he didn't live that far from where I lived, and it was just walk home. So I walked home, but I did end up passing out on the way home. because I got lost. So I called a friend and said, hey, can you come pick me up? And she's like, Danny made you go to his house and drink, right? Yeah. And she was a coworker too. So she'd been through the drill. I said, I'm at 12th and Stark is how I remember that story. And, when she got there, which was like probably 2-3 minutes later, I was asleep just right there at 12th and Stark in the someone's yard, like the berm I was sitting, but I did lay down. So there you go. Yeah. Another reason why I don't drink anymore. It's just, you never know what you're going to get. And granted, I was 18 and that was probably probably like my craziest story ever.
There's that bowl.
Yeah.
Wake up next to that bowl and be like, what the hell?
That shit I don't want to fuck with. So I will, I'll do a little something else, but I'm not doing that. So 888-68 crazy is our phone number here at 888-68 crazy at what the hell's the name of our show here today? Nightmare Neighbors. I'm still like on Office Horror Stories in some of my mind, and I'm trying to learn the new phone number, so I'm just trying to get it all to jive. Let's jump to our next story. It says, I think I've developed some serial mental problems, and I'm most aware this is probably me. I moved to my flat 3 years ago, and next door to me, there's a small bar, which I know was operating 8 titles, 5 serving breakfast and coffee, which I did not mind. I eventually turned out they were doing semi-illegal events at night that kept us up until 3 in the morning. We had to contact our local council. Long story short, it was sorted out after 2 years of pain and sleepless nights. As it was illegal, they had to stop the events. We had some serious clash. They shouted at me, tried to contact my landlord to evict me. They didn't manage. Long story short, the problems are over. No more events, nothing. They shut up at 5 p.m. and go for the day. Thing is, now every time they open or every time they're outside, I hear them talking. I feel anxious and I immediately go to a bad mood. Cannot help it. Cannot wait for them to close and go home and leave, basically. I peek through the windows, checking to see if they're still there. My terrace is adjacent to theirs, and I feel uncomfortable even just going outside. It is not fear or nothing. I just feel and observe and feel very uncomfortable. Don't want to leave the house. We're renting for a steal price, and I know for sure this is something I need to change in me. I need to find a way to move on from this and enjoy my house, but I can't help it. Feeling annoyed and angry when they're even there and not doing anything wrong. Not anymore. What can I do? I think I am going mad. Well, it's a hell of a lot easier said than done, but finding some way of letting go of the obsessing is what needs to happen. But the path to get there is the question. Thoughts?
I agree. But it's not like, it's not one of those things that let go of the obsessing.
No, it's not
you know what I mean?
No, not at all.
But I also think that sometimes you got to make a break.
Yeah.
And leave.
Yeah.
And I recently did that. Like when I moved into my new house with my amazing new neighbors, like I was living in a place that, like, I liked okay, but I wanted my own thing. But it's sometimes it's easier because moving and all of that stuff that goes with it, it's expensive, it's hard, it's all of the things. It's emotional.
Yeah.
Because we all have attachments.
Sure.
And but it was a good, it was such a good thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get past those things and you look back and you're like, why didn't I do it sooner? Or, you know, you see it differently.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
sometimes that space and time to really see what it is.
Yeah, and I think that that is true in a lot of life, a lot of things in life where we look back on things, we go, yeah, why didn't I do that sooner? And it's a lot of it, you know, it's fear. That's, you know, the it's a driving factor. And then sometimes it's, you know, it's called for. Sometimes it's not. And sometimes you just got to, you know, plan as best as you can and then cut the cord and do whatever it is that you're going to do.
Yeah.
And
I didn't have like a bad situation, but it was just easy to stay when I really am so glad I did it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you move on and you get you something that you're going to like better.
Yeah. Sometimes it's
the, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
You and I just moved.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It is. You know, sometimes doing the harder thing though is what, you know, ends up being the payoff. And I'm looking at this house here that I'm in now. I have 7 acres. I went from like 0.2 acres. So I had a little push mower that could do the lawn in like 5 minutes flat. In one Phil Collins song, done. But now,
Jesus, that would be amazing.
Now it's like the Eagles anthology. If I can get through the whole yard, maybe. But no, it's like a 3 hour job. But you know what? I love it. I really enjoy it. It gives me like 3 hours of just not my mind, not doing things, my mind not running places. I'm focusing on having the task at hand, and I listen to a podcast or something. And I don't usually take any time away where it's just me unless I'm working. So I really just enjoyed mowing the yard last week. Like, this was fun. You know, I got a little sunburn, but it was a good thing. So sometimes, you know, taking those jumps into things that are different, or, you know, you may in your old life have thought, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, sometimes those end up being some of the best things, you know, for you. So anyway.
And what's really crazy is that Tony and I both moved and both ended up with riding lawnmowers. Now I'm like super butch and I got me a riding lawnmower. And even had my friend come over and work on the tire today. And I'm like, I need to wash it.
Is it?
Because I want to clean it all up nice.
Is it zero turn though?
No.
Oh yeah, I got and zero now, turn.
But with having the tires all geared up, because one of them was pretty flat.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference. Yeah. Like they need to be properly inflated.
Yeah, that's usually pretty helpful on any sort of vehicle or.
But
thing
I won't
that
mow the front yard with it. The front yard, I will only mow with my push mower because everybody in my neighborhood has a riding lawnmower, and I'm going to be the girl out there who really does a shitty job with hers. I'm not good at it, but it's so fun. It's so fun.
Just carve like letters and initials into your lawn and just like that pertain to nothing, but just, you know, make people like wonder what this means. They have to like decode a message or something.
What I need to do is get a truck and a trailer and start me a lawn mowing company. I got all this stuff.
It'd be great. That would be great.
Carol's mowing.
888-68 crazy is our phone number here at the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. So you go. I remember the name of the show. Let's go to our next one. It says, so I'd say this is a rant vent letter, but I'd love any advice as well. I am in my early 30s. I live in my own house with my significant other, two small children, newborn and toddler age, and are a small, well-behaved dog. My house is in a college town. My neighborhood used to be filled with small families, but the college has purchased a fair amount of the houses and flipped them into housing for some of their students. The students are sports students like baseball and basketball. They are supposed to be assistant coaches living in these houses. These houses surround my home. Recently, the behavior of these college kids has gotten increasingly worse. The warmer weather and quarantine are starting to bring them outside. They play music, drink, and are inviting more and more people over to the party. I usually do not care unless A, I hear them inside my house, B, sitting outside is unbearable, or C, any of them come onto my property. They're starting to get louder and louder. They also have a dog who they let off the leash and runs around anywhere it wants with little to no restraint. The dog has repeatedly come onto my property and has barked aggressively at us on multiple occasions. I worry when we're outside with our small children that the dog will attack them. I fear that things are going to continue to get out of control and these kids are going to become more of a nuisance. I also fear for my children's safety and my own sanity. I'd like to talk to someone from the college about the rules put in place for these kids, as well as notify them that I will get in touch with animal control if they cannot restrain their dog. We have leash laws where we live. I don't want to have to call the police, but I will. I'm also trying to find out about solutions to make my property more secure and private. So there's someone who's trying to be a problem solver, I think almost to a fault. I would have been on the phone to the police and the college and probably just the police, really, with a hell of a lot less patience than she's having thus far.
You know, that's an interesting side of COVID that I didn't think about. So all of these college athletes who would probably normally be in training they're not participating in their chosen sports.
Sure.
So they've got time before they have to be back in good shape. So they're partying and having fun.
Exactly.
Whereas maybe, you know, if they're baseball players or something that's seasonal, like this time of year, they would be playing baseball, so they can't be drinking all night because they have to be in really good shape. But I mean, even then, those kids would still be having parties. That's one of my worst nightmares. It's like, I just don't want to live next to that house.
Sure.
And I feel really bad for them.
Yeah.
I really do.
I do too. It's one of those things where, what do you do? I mean, you can keep calling the police, you know, if people are going to be, I think the rule is this: people don't change in most cases. And if someone, I mean, it's one thing if they're kids and they grow up and they grow out of it. But that doesn't always change either. But
at that age, they don't give any shits.
But yeah, exactly. But if you're dealing, if you're dealing with adults here, though, if you're dealing with, you know, people who are in professional positions for the most part, that's where if they're doing it now, they're not going to change because that's still their life. Hell, I mean, where we just moved from, it was mainly Walmart executives and executives from, you know, name that company. And it was,
you just did.
What? Say the name
you
of the,
you just did name that company.
Well, I mean, every company, I mean, because every company that Walmart sells has to have a branch in the city. And so you got people from this cheese company, that gummy bear company, everything. It's craziness. But I swear to God, you would think, you know, okay, these are professional people. Holy shit, it was like being on a college campus half the time with the way that these people were getting out of hand. It was just ridiculous. This goes to my point. Some people just don't change, unfortunately. No matter how many warnings, no matter how many this or that, it's what you're going to deal with. And the unfortunate answer to dealing with that is quite often getting the hell out of there. But it sucks if you can't do that. You know, that's the part that,
but, you know, they probably lived there a long time.
Yeah,
this is their home.
I know.
Those kids are in and out. They only stay there a couple years.
You know,
and that's what's so crappy about it. Yeah. It's like, this is where I've chosen to live. You will be gone in a couple years.
And I hate that for
them. You don't care. Like, you come in and, you know, those parties, those people are outside peeing in the neighbors' yards and screaming and yelling and drunk. And God, you would never sleep.
No, it would be horrible. And I hate that that's the situation that they're in. It's just, I have had now to go through, not my last move, but my previous move, a move because of the environment around us that we could not control or change. And when we were in Branson, we put our heart and soul into that house. It was a blank canvas when we got it.
It was such a great house.
And
I liked that.
And we put so much work, I mean, money, but just work and ideas and so many firsts of learning how to do this or that. And we did it all together. And we had the idea that this was going to be where we were going to stay. And that was our plan the entire time. And then that city, in our opinion, within the course of about a year or so, to what was visible to us when we got there to when we left, really just fell to apart in terms of safety and just everything. It was scary going into restaurants, in my opinion, or store, anything, for fear of being mugged or panhandled or this or that. It was extremely uncomfortable, and drug addicts everywhere on top of that too, that were just acting insane. I mean, it's like The Walking Dead is what we would joke about, and it was very sad. But anyway, we had to leave because we couldn't raise our girls in that environment and feel good about it. No matter how much we loved that house, but we had to make that call at some point going, we're going to lose a lot of money here. Luckily we had the ability to do so. But we had to do it to not be in a bad environment. And that's what I get it.
It's worth it.
I get it, you know, but at the end it's, you know, it was worth it. We went to, it was just two houses down now, but you know, our first house was kind of a bust after we moved, but here I feel completely at peace. I said to Jen the other night, I said, I know we've only been here like 2 weeks, but it feels like we've been here for a lot longer. Like there's just like, you have that comfort level, like you just kind of know it. And I don't have like that new house feeling where I'm still kind of learning things. I'm just like, yep, I'm, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's that level of comfort. And, that, I think that's a good thing when you can find that.
God, and every night, go to bed and think to yourself, at least I don't live next to those damn college kids.
No shit. Not just a crazy-ass cow.
I feel so bad for people like that who get stuck living next to people like that.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Let's go to our next letter. It says, for the past few months, I've suspected that my upstairs neighbor has been stealing some of my mail. I buy a lot of things online, like books, craft supplies. Every now and then, there have been small things that were meant to arrive on a certain day that never did. One day, I caught her wandering around my front door, and when I asked her what she was doing, she said, oh, I was looking for something I think I dropped in your yard. I got surveillance cameras installed a while ago, which were not noticeable to my neighbors. The camera is pointed at my front door, is not visible from the driveway. You can only see it if you are in my backyard. Here comes the trap. I purchased a few postage boxes and made up a few booby traps for her. First one was a glitter bomb. I set the box to make sure she would get the glitter to the face as soon as she opened it. I packed it to make it look like a postage parcel and sat it on my front door. 20 minutes later, I saw them walking to my front door. She looked around, picked up the box, and walked away. My only regret is that I did not get to see her reaction when she got the face full of glitter. I've not noticed any other mail going missing after that, but she will regret it if she does it again. My second trap will be much worse.
So, that is brilliant.
Glitter bomb.
Brilliant. Hats off.
Yeah.
Because not only did glitter go like all over the person, but glitter you will find for years.
Yeah.
It never goes away. You cannot completely clean it up.
I think I'd go with snakes. I think if that were, I'd go and get a very venomous snake and put it in there. And there you go. Or maybe that's like,
I like the glitter. I really do.
Glitter's better. Yeah. I don't recommend anyone doing that. And certainly you can't ship anything like that. And I don't recommend doing it, but I don't know. Maybe I just go to the extreme too fast. Glitter maybe should be step one, venomous stake 10 on the steps.
Because what I love about the glitter is that you can't really clean it up.
Sure.
And you find it for years and years and years.
Yeah, but with the venomous snake,
so
it's loose
it
in the house.
It was always a reminder of that time I stole that box from my neighbor.
So would getting
and you know
an infection from the venomous snake and losing an arm. I mean, that would be a reminder as well.
That's true.
That might just be too much, though, for you know, a first offense. So
I'm all excited about the glitter. I think that's brilliant.
888-68-CRAZY is our phone number here at Nightmare Neighbors. Let's go to our next story. It says, we live in a smallish 20-acre suburban plot. About 3 years ago, my family with a few kids moved in, not directly behind me, but one house off to the side. Our back corners almost touch. The moment the weather got nice, this group of about five girls began their screeching around the clock at a ludicrous volume. Never saw a parent step out and ask them to keep it down. I know little girls screech, but this was otherworldly. I like that they're out and active, and kids definitely give the neighborhood more energy. But how no parent could come out every once in a while and tell them to keep it down is insane to me. Last year, they got a semi-permanent above-ground pool, more kids, more noise, but less screeching. Fine by me. I think they've grown out of the screeching. Except now they have a dog that barks at everyone. And now the kids are teens or preteens, and they've discovered music. My neighbor to the rear cut down bushes and a tree over the winter, so we're now even more exposed to them. We had a neighbor's gathering on Sunday, and everyone on our side of the street griped about it. My one neighbor, who lives directly behind me, says, "I can't take it anymore," but has not said anything to them. Every day this year, worse with schools closed, has been an outside country music festival at a stupid volume from 10 a.m. until dark, and 5 to 10 kids in the yard. I stayed home yesterday not feeling well, went in all day. Sat on my desk a lot, hoping the vitamin D would help, but I was more focused on their racket than my relaxing. Party? Go nuts? Few hours on a Saturday afternoon? Go nuts. But this is crazy. Finally, around 6 p.m. and suffering through a horrendous piece of shit called I Love My Country by Florida Georgia Line, I looked up and nearly gagged at the garbage lyrics. I had had enough. Hopped the fence into my rear neighbors, walked up to them calmly and said over the fence, "Hey, ladies, can you please turn that down like 50%? I don't mind hearing a little bit, but the volume is nuts and not everyone likes or needs to hear your music." They all looked shell-shocked. There were five of them in bathing suits just out of the pool. One girl walked into the garage and turned the music off and came back out. I said, "I didn't ask for want you to shut it off. Just turn it down." She went back in and turned it up a bit. That's when Daddy comes out, hulking his arms and traps like a king cobra. He says nothing. We kind of stared at each other for a few seconds, and I'm waiting for this to turn ugly. One of those, "How dare you talk to my kids" situations. He bends over, talks inaudibly to one of the girls, continuing to stare at me, but then turns and goes back inside. The rest of the evening, it was audible but not obnoxious, low enough that I could not make out the lyrics or commercials. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Parents, your kids outside are not a license to not parent them. I 100% agree. That's how my last house was in the backyard. It was screeching and parents not going, "Hey, we should do that. We live in a neighborhood and we need to learn how to be considerate. We should learn this lesson." But unfortunately, a lot of parents don't.
I do want to say, though, hats off to the kid who went and turned it off.
Yeah.
And then they're like, "No, you didn't have to turn it off. Just turn it down."
Yeah.
So at least the kid at that moment did the right thing.
That's true.
But then the parent comes out.
Yeah.
Like, "She threatening you or he threatening you. What's going on?" You know what I mean? That's what it sounded like happened.
Well, yeah, with ours that were taunting.
I hear your kid was actually doing the right thing. Yeah. I hope that the parent went out and said, "Hey, that was the right thing to do."
Yeah.
I don't think that's what happened.
Yeah. With our former asshole neighbors, when their kids were taunting our daughter and making fun of her red hair and saying, "Oh, I know, they're fucking horrible people." And we told the kids to knock it off, or we're going to tell your parents. We were told by the parents we shouldn't talk passive aggressively to their children. Just bring it right to them, which
no,
we
that
actually
was a threat.
Which we
it's not passive aggressive at all.
It's very. I'm not threatening. I'm just telling you. Here's what's going to happen. Although
your
kid ass
is going to get in trouble, but although, obviously not because your parents don't give no shits.
But the we want you to talk to us first. Well, I did do that. I went and rang your doorbell twice, and you failed to come to the door because you were afraid to talk to me. And then you sent me a chicken shit email, and my wife a chicken shit email. On Facebook saying, "Here's my phone number. We can talk if you have any other problems." So anyway, fucking hate people. But I'm so glad I'm not by them anymore.
You have a bull next door.
I know. I love the bull. I said to Jen the other day, I said, "I'll take this fucking bull. I'll take all of them doing this noise every day over those people." So right there, that's going to wrap up today's episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. If you have a nightmare neighbor story, send it to us. Call 888-68-CRAZY, or you can write in at nightmareneighbors.com. We would love to hear it. Do it completely anonymously. Nightmareneighbors.com. Press subscribe wherever you're listening. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd absolutely love that. And you can still get in on that Amazon gift card contest on that too. So please do that. Leave the review and send me that screenshot. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there.